Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome Van, who's about to start series 27 of this show. It's Richard Herring. Series 27. Who'd have believed we'd get recommissioned this many times, or that we'd just break up something that's on every week into different series? It's insane. Well, you're much better than the audience that's going to be. We're going to have on the 4th of August. I can tell you that. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Though I was talking to Leon Theremin the other day, I've done a lot of these. He invented the theremin, you know, he probably did other stuff as well, but you know, it's pretty cool, isn't it? He calls it Rehellister. He goes, that's what he calls it. So it's very exciting as we're recording this one only a week before transmission. I can go topical, which is not going to happen again for a very, very long time. I can tell you that right now. Because we're going to go on tour, I think, in the autumn and the spring. And by my reckoning, we'll have got 100 podcasts by this time in May, which should last us 2 years. So we're not going to be topical. You know, I'll have a go. We'll have a crack, but not going to work out. Succession is just... Anyone watching Succession? It's just finished. I love it, but I was really hoping that at the end, it was quite a serious ending, that they'd do that thing they do on films where they just get all the cast to sing Build Me Up Buttercup or whatever. You know, break character in different locations, apart from the guy playing Kendall. He's very method, so he would stay in character and have to react as Kendall would react to people just singing in real life. Better ending, in my opinion. So that's topical. Don't bother with the topical stuff then. Philip Schofield is in the news for some reason. He says his career is over, but Philip, if you're listening, we're still looking for a guest for the 19th of June show. £500, we can do cash in hand. Chris Evans, not that one's son, Ben, is working on the show. If that... that is any enticement. He's 22. He's a bit old for you, but that's... We can make him... Well, I'm prepared to use him as kind of bait. I don't know if he's prepared to do that himself, but it doesn't matter. He works for me. He does what I say. I'm going to be next. Presumably, they are going to be sacking every TV star who ever shagged a runner, so there's not going to be many people left on TV. It's all I'm going to tell you. Presumably, that's the problem. It's sort of weird in this world of Robert De Niro and Al Pacino having kids in their 80s, nearly in their 90s with 29-year-olds. That's sort of admirable. A little bit of... I wonder what the difference with Philip Schofield is. So anyway, Piers Morgan has called to end the relentless persecution of Philip Schofield and return to the relentless persecution of Meghan Markle instead. I presume he only calls for a relentless persecution of those who have rejected him romantically. That is my guess. So, yeah, there is a tour coming up. Do keep an eye on richcharing.com/Rahulastapa for details of that. We'll be releasing that pretty soon. The people of London have been taking us for granted, so we're coming out to you in the provinces. And if you come, then we'll never come back to London again. You've been warned, London. No, we had a lot of fun in Wells the other week, so we'll hopefully get to see everyone. We're still doing gigs in London, obviously we are. We love you guys. Right, my guest this week, the first guest of Series 27. It's a big, they're big, important slots. It's what everyone's going for. She is probably best known for playing the Tanguru in the Tango advert. It's quite a rude Tango advert. We'll talk about it. That's why I want to talk about it. Will you please welcome the amazing Tanya Moore, ladies and gentlemen. Here she is, Tanya Moore. Come in, sit down. Hello, Tanguru. Tanguru. Yeah, Tanguru.
Yes.
Let's talk about that for an hour.
Okay. Do you expect them to stay here for that?
Yeah. They've been through a lot more boring than that. And they stay relentlessly.
Wow, are we starting off Tanguru's boring?
It isn't boring at all. It's quite... I couldn't understand where that... I've watched the advert.
Yeah.
Was there only one, or was there... It feels like...
We did three, but I think only two came out.
Right, OK. Well, I've seen one that involved a young lady and her dad finding...
Dildo.
Yeah, it's a big dildo. A so that didn't advert. Go out during Coronation Street, did it? Or did it?
It did.
Wow.
It went out in all the peak times.
Did it?
It was wonderful. The one that didn't come out was the one that... we thought would come out.
All right.
And then we thought that one wouldn't come out because we filmed in one whole day. It's like a 12-hour day. And we did three adverts in one day.
Right.
And so we did the first two, and then they were like, we shouldn't do the last one. They're not going to allow it. That's the one that everyone loves. It's crazy. We did that in like 20 minutes.
Right.
It was proper quick. I was knackered by that point. Absolutely knackered. I weren't supposed to be leaning on the wall. I was leaning on the wall. So I was knackered. Wow. I was finished.
What was the one that didn't go out? What happened in the one that didn't go out?
Oh, so it was like a family dinner. And God, this lady, she's probably about 70. She was the grandma of the boy in the advert. So the advert is a boy and a girl. She's trying to have, like, sexy chat with him, but she keeps, like, doing wrong things, like sending a text to her dad or, you know, just doing random things. So around the dinner table, they were sitting around the dinner table having a moment, and he thought the girl was trying to flirt with him, rubbing her foot on him, and it was her nan doing it. Yeah. And then we cut to the nan, and you expect a face like, oh, sorry. And she was like, oh. Yeah. Then it happened again, and you cut to, and it's her mum. Right. So now everyone around the table was trying to flirt with him. His girlfriend doesn't know, and he's trying to be polite about it.
Yeah.
It was funny as hell.
Wow.
The dildo one was the one that came out.
Wow, I can't believe it. Just wasn't people filthy enough. People intergenerational love sex.
No.
Was not dirty enough for tango. Well, good. Well, you are a very fine actor. You started, you've been acting for a long time.
Right? Long time.
A very long time. You started when you were four or something like that?
Five, drama class, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, you started off in dance. And
dance was my love. We started off, we went to ballet, lasted one class, because what the fuck is that about? And what are we doing? We're doing too much. Went to jazz, loved jazz, but I needed a bit more structure, a bit more girth, and I had anger to release. So we landed in hip-hop, guys, and street dance, and that's what I did.
I mean, that's a world time. I don't know very much about.
No way.
The world.
Never have guessed.
Yeah.
It's giving Tupac.
So you hosted dance shows as well. So people saw you hosting dance shows.
Yeah.
And you were funny. And so they said, become a comedian.
They were like, why don't you try a comedy? That's literally how it happened.
Yeah.
And then my friend and I were walking back from a dance rehearsal and we saw at New Cross Comedy Theatre that they did comedy courses. And I was like, I'm gonna try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm a good comedian. I'm just saying I'm on this podcast.
Well, you are a good comedian.
Thank you.
I've seen your show and also... you won the Funny Women competition, which is a big competition.
Yeah, that was nice. I was worried that day, actually, really worried. I was scared of competitions.
Right.
Took a long time to do competitions. 6-7 years I took to
really?
Do competitions. Yeah. I was like, no, I've, audiences are telling me I'm funny. I don't need 4 disgruntled people to confirm that I maybe not be. So I just didn't want to do that. I didn't. And then I finally did it. Won Funny Women, so that was great. Then I did the Bath Comedy Festival and I came 3rd. And then I did the BBC Comedy Festival and I got disqualified. So that was fun.
Why did you get disqualified?
And I ended it there. So I'm done. I've won one. I'm doing too much. Let me tap out. Let me just tap the
fuck
out.
What did you do, Tanya?
I ran over time a little bit, but over time because the audience were laughing. Like, isn't that the point? I was so confused. And the judges were arguing with the organizer. The producer was like, I can't have her doing that because if she runs over in the final, which is live, it's going to mess up the schedule. And I was like, I get it. But also, if the light isn't at the back behind the sound desk, I might see it.
Yeah.
I might see it. So I got disqualified. Yeah.
Okay.
And ended my competition career.
Well, you know, that's a very good competition career anyway. You don't need competition. Me and Katie came to see you, I guess, in Edinburgh 2019, was
19.
It? 19. Yeah. And I was you were basically doing a shared bill.
Yes.
You did half an hour of the show that you were hoping to do in 2020.
Yes.
So something happened to make that not happen.
Yeah.
Which was a shame because I thought it's really stuck with me that half an hour.
Oh, that's
nice. What I really loved about the show was it was a show, and I think you're going to do more with it. It was about being a bully.
Yes.
Which is not something that many people acknowledge.
No.
And most people wouldn't talk about. And yeah, I've always thought most people have been bullied and most people have also bullied other people.
A lot of people came to me afterwards and they were like, oh, I'm so glad someone's talking about it.
Yeah.
All of us are bullies, first of all.
Yeah.
And the reason why I did this show, it's not to highlight being a bully. It's not fun to be a bully. It's to highlight why people are being bullies.
Sure.
And what we should dig into and how we should learn to respond to that. Because what we do as a society, we're told to look after the person who's been bullied, okay? Their life is fine. That's why they're being bullied, first of all. That's the truth. It's jealousy. It's an innate anger inside of you that makes you deflect onto the person who looks like they have the life that you think you want.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
I do. Yeah, it often is. And I think that's, you know, there. Not to say we should have sympathy for bullies
not
per
to
se,
say like that,
but there is, I think you're looking for the root causes of why it happens. So it's interesting for you to talk about.
And if we have more spaces for people like that to spend time in, we have, when you see organisations like... charities that help people who have been bullied, if we have more spaces like that for people who, when they're younger as well, to go and express themselves, they might be able to get the tools they're not getting at home to fix their behaviour. Just by telling them off and making them miss playtime, it doesn't fix their behaviour.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Just by calling them horrible names and sending them home doesn't fix their behaviour.
I think that's true. And I really, you know, I remember being bullied, but I also look back and they're the things people tend to forget about or conveniently forget about. Where you go, actually, I did pick on that because I might have been bullied by someone. You know, it's the natural. So you would.
It generates.
Well, you just thought you were joking about someone.
This is it. It was not a joke.
But to them, you'd think, no, that wasn't a joke.
Learned that lesson in uni.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a big deal. So yeah, I've made a show out of it. I wanted to do an hour.
Yeah.
We couldn't do the hour. And then by the time we got back to Edinburgh, I was over it. But also, more importantly, I was going to make it, because it was a serious subject.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make it too light. Whilst the half an hour was fun, I had a thing on my chest about looking like I was glorifying bullying and being insensitive to the plethora of people who have been bullied.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'm going to make it into a theatre show
sure.
and have a serious piece that will be quite funny in parts, right? And then my agent was like, babe, this is a TV show, stop being weird. And so now I've got a pilot and I'm writing it to be a TV show.
Good, that's yeah, great. Well, I'm really glad because I know you did something, you came back in last year in Edinburgh and did a different show, which was about just trying to be funny and work out who you were, which is fine. But I thought there was something very interesting in there. There was a connect, and forgive me if I've got this wrong in the haze of the years, but there was a connection with the guys arrested for Stephen Lawrence, is that right?
Oh, no, we just went to the same school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of interesting as well. So
I wasn't there at the time. I had come just after they left.
Right.
At the time when I went to school, they had families still in the school, sisters and cousins and stuff. And there was a big racial divide.
Yeah.
Me coming from Lewisham, New Cross, South East London, and travelling all the way to Falcon Wood in Kent to go to school meant that there was not a lot of us, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And at the end of school, those of us from our side would come up to fight them. There was a lot of fighting around that time. A lot of problems. The police obviously weren't looking out for us. I say obviously, some of you might still be ignorant to the idea that they're bullies, but they are horrible and they were doing lots of different things. I was pushed and punched a couple of times by police officers telling me to get out of the road. I was on the pavement. That was wild. Yeah. And I was 12. So it was a strange time.
Yeah.
Really strange time.
Yeah, but there's so...
But you make these things funny.
Yeah, but there's so much in that. And that's why it's such an interesting subject. And again, just because of the way the media works and comedy works, it's not something you're going to hear about very much from many people. So it's terrific that, you know, that show is going to turn into something.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's a comedy, by the way, guys. It's not this. Let's get that out. It's a comedy. I just think it's really... I think I'm really lucky to be able to turn horrible situations into fun scenarios that we can all enjoy.
Yeah.
And I feel like now I'm just like... I've got a hard on for it. Anything that happens hard in my life, I'm like, we're making this funny, guys. So, yeah, my new show is about a really bad thing that happened to me last year. Right. I'm just making it funny because if not, I just think you'll sit down and get depressed over it. And I just think, I don't want depression. It doesn't look cute. It doesn't fit me. I don't want it.
But, yeah, it is. I mean, this comes up obviously a lot when we talk to comedians because most of us will take the worst things that happen to us and think, what's the funny angle? And But it is also a valid way to cope with if you've been through something difficult to find
it
the funny.
Kind of bring awareness as well. Yeah,
of course.
We need to learn to talk about a lot of different range of things that make people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
When really, we all experience it. We're all just sitting in our cupboards being like, oh, my God, no one should know. We're all doing it about the same things, you know. We're all going through all the things.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
We're human.
Good. Right. Look, there's a lot of things that I want to talk to you about.
Oh.
First of all, I mean, I know you've talked about this a lot, but I want to address the spelling of Tanya.
I think we all want to address the spelling of Tanya.
Do you want to take us through the spelling of the spelling of Tanya and why that?
The spelling of Tanya, I would say, is probably the first time I recognised I was bullied. Probably.
Right. Yeah.
That's the name my dad gave me. Right. My dad is a man. He's a creative man. I tell you why he's creative. He's taken a five-letter word and made it seven. It's fucking creative, isn't it? It's creative. So my name, if you haven't seen, is Tanyia, because we need the Y and the I just to let everyone know. Not one, we need them both. And the H is in there because Jamaicans just put H's in places they don't need to be. That's how I've summed it up. Right. Over the years, I've asked him, what does my name mean? And I've received a different answer every time. So I'm confirming he made the shit up is what I'm saying. And he keeps saying shit like there was once I was the river by the Nile. It was. There was once. Then it was the flower in the bloom. Then I swear to God, we did a show for Dave recently and they said what was the name. They asked him the question, what's the meaning of my name?
Yeah.
He gave a completely different answer. So I was like, I thought it was the river of the Nile. And he was like, it is. The river of the Nile, and then led it into his answer. So for God's, you have to go and see it. It's the funniest shit. But I was looking at him like, you made it up, innit? You made it up. Just say you made it up, you ass.
But it's something that, you know, then it sets you, because you could just change it to a different spelling if you wanted to.
I could just change it, but that's like depot and money and shit. Yeah. No one's got time for that. That's a lot of expense on me for his mistake.
It is. But also, it's, you know, it's immediately interesting, and also you can... you know, get pissed off if people spell it wrong. Well, so that's nice.
Well, I think if you're on my social media spelling my name wrong, you're a dickhead.
Yeah.
How did you find me? You had to spell it right to find me. Also, when you go into the inbox, guess what? My name is right there. You're a dickhead. Yeah. I deserve.
Good. Well, that's deserve. Fun. That's fun. But also, like in show business terms, then it's you know.
It's good in showbiz because I stand out from the other Tanyas. Yeah. So that's the only thing.
And you can just be one name. You could become a one name act.
Oh my God, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
When I'm in my Madonna era, I'm going to just become Tanya. Yeah.
So that's terrific. And also, I mean, I think the shaved head is a terrific look as well.
I love it.
Yeah. But you used to have hair, right? So I've seen you with hair.
I had many a different hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going through my photos last night with my friend, actually, and I was like, I went through it. I was finding myself a lot. And we finally found her, thankfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the way forward.
Yeah.
I don't like people asking to touch it, though.
Of course not.
I get that a lot.
Okay.
No one asked to touch my hair, which leads me to believe they could see I was finding myself. They want to touch the head.
But it's a risk, isn't it? Because I once went down like to a number two for an acting job.
Yeah.
And my head does not suit. Thank God my hair isn't falling out because my head is big and weird. And
let me tell you the heart attack that I had. So on the way, I made the decision to cut my hair because I said, when I'm getting older now and growing up, I've always hated my face. And let me tell you why. Everyone used to always say to me, oh my God, you are a spitting image of your dad. So I just thought I looked like a boy, right? With hair. That's what I thought growing up.
Right.
Growing up all the time, you are your dad. You look like just like your dad. Oh my God. She looks just like her dad. Not even Eli looks like her dad. She is like her dad. That is Noelle's face right there. So I was like, oh my God. Jesus. That's crazy. And then when I used to go hairdressers all the time, they would be like, oh my God, you got a lot back here. And I thought they meant my head. Not my hair. I thought they meant I've got a big head. So when I went to shave it, I thought, okay, now we're gonna figure out if I can rock this cliff that's hanging at the back here. This big, massive grapefruit that seems to be back there that no one knows how to fix. And then we shaved it, and I was like, oh, you meant the hair. I've got an egghead like my dad. My dad has got an egghead, and this is what it looks like.
Right.
This is it. So I do look like Noel. I'm just getting used to it more now.
I can't imagine a male version of the same thing.
I wish I brought my phone out. If I bring my phone out, you'd look at it and be like, because that's what I get all the time. I say it when he's not around, and then I get a photo out, or they see him, and they're like, you do look like a boy. Honestly.
Well, it's true. And again, what a fantastic individual thing to have.
Well, I have the thing with girls. Most girls tend to look like their fathers, I find. So when I tell that story, they're like, yeah, me too. And I'm like, it's not about you. It's about me right now. I'm also a middle child. Can you tell? No way.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So look, you've been doing. I mean, things have really taken off for you in the last few years, especially. You've done, obviously been doing. I was saying to you backstage, I watched you did a CB show.
CBBC.
That's what I'm saying. I should know because I watch it all the time. Yeah. Sometimes when my kids are there. Called Jamie Johnson, which I hadn't seen because it's a little bit older than my kids are. But you're unnecessarily good in it.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, a lot of people would take a kid's show and go, oh, I'm not going to bother. But it's proper acting.
Yep.
It's a quite dramatic.
It's a dramatic kids show.
Yeah.
Which was really nice. Yeah. That was part of the appeal for taking the role.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be in a kids show and just be doing like the crazy stuff that some people have to do. Well, Jimmy, maybe we should look at our feelings. I don't want to do that. I want to do the good, gritty stuff. And that's what they gave us to do. And I was really happy about that. And that was my first acting job as well. Proper acting job, like main cast.
Yeah.
Getting stuck in. It was wonderful. I loved it. We spent 10 weeks in Wales. Oh, my God. The weirdest scenario ever. It was like a quaint little seaside town called Porthcawl.
Oh, yes.
Have you been there?
No, but I've heard you talking about it. And I've seen Wales online talking about you.
Oh, yeah, you saw them. Oh, they came for me. Are you from Porthcawl?
No.
You've been there. Oh, my God, you survived. Well done. Listen, what some of you don't know is Porthcawl is Welsh for shithole, innit? It's fucking horrible. Now, there's one little strip of it. It's beautiful. There's a little seaside strip bit, which is really nice. And our hotel was opposite the seaside. So the only thing that was nice about it for me, every morning that you don't get in London, is you wake up, you open the curtains, and then there's a beach and you hear seagulls and you get that fresh air and it's beautiful. And then you get off that strip and it turns into Croydon Part 2. Oh my God. That seaside, that fun fair. I went to the fun fair, and before I got into the fun fair, they warned me of all the things that have happened in the fun fair before I got on the rise. Did you get that as well? They were like, See, even you know! Someone lost their head!
I said, wow, do you not want the money?
Like, what? Wow! Didn't stop me, though. But it was scary. It was a crazy time. It was just weird. It's just a proper town in, like, proper town behaviour.
Yeah.
Everyone knew everyone. So when I got there, on the first day, I just went for a walk just to have a look at what I was going to be around for the next 10 weeks. And I swear to God, wherever I stopped, someone was like, you're right. So how long are you here for? Not in a way like, go away, they're being racist. Just like town people want to know who you are. So I would answer them, and then 10 hours later, after spilling my whole life, I would leave the coffee shop and go back to my hotel. But I always got caught talking to somebody. Did you ever meet Ethel? Listen, Ethel is known by everyone in the town, because if you get stuck behind Ethel in a shop, you're fucked. Ethel talks to everyone at the till for hours. And because she's elderly, you don't want to be disrespectful and be like, Ethel, I got somewhere to go. Because you know it's probably her only conversation of the day.
Yeah.
But I think Ethel knows that we're not going to say that. I think she does that on purpose. I do. By week 6, I was like, I've got you, Ethel. I've fucking got your number, love. And when I'd see her slowly going towards that till, I'd run fast. And then I'd be at the till having a nice conversation. And guess what Ethel said to me in week 7? Are you finished there? I said, look at this cheeky bitch. We've always got to wait for Ethel. Ethel doesn't want to wait for us. Cheeky cat. Oh, the things you get up to when you're bored by yourself in a new town. Made my weeks, that did, figuring Ethel out. Jesus.
Well, what I liked about the Wales Online piece, it quoted you saying Porthcawl is a shithole where rats go to do drug deals, first of all.
The drugs are good, though.
Which is a good line. But it was like, you know, sometimes if a comedian slags off a town, it becomes big news in the papers and they say they're going to get banned. Basically, the article goes, yeah, some people were annoyed, but some people agreed that it
is. They were agreeing with me. They were like, it is a shithole, and the drugs are fantastic. It was crazy. I'm now admin of the Porthcawl group on Facebook, by the way, because I did the joke about Wells, and they posted it on Comedy Central, and a lady posted it in Facebook in the Porthcawl group, and with the caption, what a vile woman. And then everyone in the comments was agreeing with me. And then the host of the group saw me in the group interacting with everybody and then made me the admin. It's a great time to be alive, guys. So it really is.
It's become a beautiful... You're going to go and retire to Porthcawl.
I'm going to go back to Porthcawl and just do a whole piece of the Mail Online over there, because why the hell not? I was so shocked when they did that. This is how boring... This is how much nothing happens in Porthcawl. She posted it on Facebook. It became an article. So someone from Mail Online in Porthcawl went down and just started interviewing the locals about this nobody who they... No one knew about the joke. Half of them aren't even in fucking Facebook group anyway. They were so confused. They were like, oh, what joke? It was so a confusing time for everyone. Yeah. Why would you do that? I felt famous for 30 minutes.
Good. And I'm glad you're doubling down. I'm glad that you've learned nothing and you're going to... This will start it all up again.
It is Welsh for shithole.
You know, the whole of Wales is shit, let's face it. So.
Whoa! I just wanted it. He said that, not me.
I love Wales, and thank you to Chris Evans, not that one, who is from... He's from Wales, I think. I don't know. Don't like to talk to him. He is. He's very. I love Wales. let's talk about question team. This was pretty a pretty good story about. Yeah. Tell us about. So in question team, if people haven't seen it, it's kids groups of comedians, and they've got to come up with interesting ways of asking each other questions.
That's literally it. There's four of us. Richard Ayoade is the host. There's three of us and Richard, and we ask each other questions. And whoever has the most points wins. It's very simple, very, very easy situation. It's just what you're doing while you're asking the questions. And so I decided to push the boat out.
Yeah.
And I said I wanted to skydive. Guys, I can tell you can see me. You know I don't want to fucking skydive. They made me skydive.
Right.
I said they made me. They said, if we set it up, would you do it? I was like, yeah, of course I would, because... I'm an idiot. And then they set it up and I was like, shit. Right? And then we went down and we did it. It actually was a great day. I really enjoyed... Why do I keep eating the microphone?
It's
driving me insane. It was a really great day. It was new. I didn't think jumping out of an airplane was a thing. The person who first jumped out of an airplane, I just want to know what wasn't happening on that day for them. But they decided that the safety of being inside was too much for them. They wanted to try and die. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's a good question because someone must have thought this might work.
Yeah. In war, in evacuation moments, fair. For fun? No. No.
I saw a YouTube or an Instagram thing of the... And they've got the video of it. It's quite nasty. Don't see it if you see it. Of a man who thought he could fly off the Eiffel Tower. Have you seen this guy? And they've got a video of it. From like 1906 or something.
What?
So it's an oldie time guy, and he's got some sort of wing suit, and he thought he could fly off the Eiffel Tower. He didn't. But I think he thought he could glide down. But I would have tested it a bit lower down first. If I'd been him.
I would say he's probably the first person to taste cocaine. That's what it sounds like.
But I guess that's how, you know, parachuting must have come about by someone going, I'll try and jump off this chair and see how this goes. Oh, yeah, that stopped me a little bit. Let's go up a ladder. But, yeah, it is. I've done it once as well. I've done skydiving once on tandem skydive, which I did for a show, my own stand-up show, because it's the kind of thing I would never do either. Yeah. But I did like it.
It is fun.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
But then I went back the next season, because that was season one.
Right.
Season two, they said, how are we going to top skydiving?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I'm just really enjoying spending most of this budget. And then they came back with not one thing. We had to do five different things to top the skydiving.
Right.
So over the course of 2 days, I did water skiing for the first time.
Nice.
Yeah. And can I just confirm, whilst I am black and I can swim, I don't want to ever water ski ever again. that wasn't fun. For the first time, I got in the water. And instructors, they're evil. They put on that voice, didn't they? And it makes you feel so secure, doesn't it? So all you're going to do, Tanya, is you're going to just lie back in the water and then hold on to this. And then when I go, I'm going to go. And as I start to pick up speed, you just come up gently. And as you come up gently, you just hold on and straighten your legs and it'll be fine. We'll just go around the water. What you don't realise in all of that delivery, is that when you're lying in the water and he puts on that engine, you're by the fucking back of the boat. So all the water's going... So you're dying half the way before you even get up.
Sure.
Then I got up. I didn't realise getting up was basically lifting up a gym. Not going to the gym. You're lifting up the whole fucking gym at this point. So you're holding on. Then he took us around and around. So after a while, I was like, oh, shit, wait. How do I get down? How do I stop this? So I said to him, how do you stop this? And he's like, yeah. You just let go. I was like, nah. Sir, nah. We're currently doing about 40 miles per hour around this little sea here. And you want me to just let go? I can't swim on my back. That's not how I learn. Also, when I say I can swim, I swim to survive, okay? Not for fun. Just to live. So I'm not really a swimmer. I'm not going to be in the Olympics anytime soon. So I said, if I go back, will I go under? He was like, no, you'll just float. We can all hear that. That'll make sense. In the moment, I said, sir, that don't make sense. I said, if I go back, I'm definitely going to go under. That's kind of how gravity works. He was like, no, you got floats. You'll be all right. Me, like a top dickhead, believed him. I did. I was holding on like this. I'm really sorry for the podcast, but I was holding on like this. And I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. Just let go. And I let go. And the water came over my head. And they sent me the outtakes of me going, help me, I'm going to die. This is how it happens. This is it. I was saying, this is it. This is how it happens. That's what, imagine, I'm dying. And all I can be concerned is, this is how I'm dying. I was so upset. I was like, this is it. I die in water. This is horrible. And then he came. And eventually he came. It felt like 3 hours, but... by the video, it was 13 seconds. And then he took me out the water. And they were like, do you want to go again? And I was like, you can fuck off. I hope you got everything you need from that one shot, my friend. Never went again. So after I did that, I had to go and do a scene in a spa. I enjoyed this one.
Right.
I had to go and get my feet done. And I was asking a question through the bit of the bed like that.
Oh, yeah.
With my face through the bed. So that was easy.
And that's not beating power skydiving, looking through a massage table.
No. Oh, don't worry. We've got 3 more things to do tomorrow. Right. So I went to bed that night. They got us a nice little old English hotel, 4-poster. I had a bath that stood by itself.
Nice.
You know, the whole stuff. It was wonderful. I felt like I was in a film that I can't remember right now, but we'll edit it in later. So did that. Woke up the next day. I had to do... clay pigeon shooting. Oh, wonderful. I thought I was scared of guns. I get it now.
Really?
I'm going to America. I fucking get it. I bloody get it. There's something really sexy about going boom and your whole body being thrown to the floor because the gun's massive, but you breaking that bit of clay.
Yeah.
Powerful scenes. Anyway, we did that.
Sounds like you're quite adept at all that. I feel like if I went water skiing, I would fall off straight away. If I went clay pigeon shooting, I wouldn't hit anything.
Oh, no, yeah. Okay, so I didn't tell you about the practice I had before I hit the thing.
Yeah.
I had a lot of practice.
Okay.
I had half an hour of practice of shooting this clay pigeon. Because it's quite technical, actually. Yeah. You've got to hold it in the right place. It's got to sit in your shoulder in the right place. Otherwise, you end up just attacking yourself and bruising yourself and hurting your body.
Right.
So we did that. What else did I do? Wait, I did 4 things. Wait, did the spa? Yeah, it was 4 things. Because in the spa, we did 2 different sections. So we did the spa, did the water skiing, did the clay pigeon shooting. Then they took me to wing walk.
Okay, that's pretty...
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So I'm hearing the silence, and that's what I gave them when they suggested it. And I gave them silence when I suggested it. I didn't know what it was.
Right.
I genuinely thought it was like a Boeing 747. Fuck you. Because you know what it was. That's how I know you know. And you walk out on this side, and they have me harnessed, and I just walk out. I say the questions. I just come back in, and I was like, I can do that. I jumped out of it. What's the worst thing about walking on a wing? That's not a problem. What I didn't know is when you're doing a wing walk, the plane is older than everybody in this room. I swear, it's the first idea of planes before planes became planes. There's not even doors and seats on this plane. There's just the body of a plane.
Right.
There's only one seat. That's for the pilot.
Okay.
And even then, that is a bus stall. That's not even, not even a full seat. Even he's like this on the edge. I said, fucking hell. So I get on, I get to the top of the, before I even get on top of the plane, there's an assistant to the pilot, and she's doing me up and making sure, you know, everything's all right. And she's like, babes, when you go up there, when you go upside down, just put, I said, sorry, what? When you go who? She said, when you go upside down, make sure you look up and put your hands up. I swear, I promise you, you're going to regret it. I said, but what I will regret is not slapping you in the face if you don't leave me alone. You need to stop talking. So we went up there the first time, kept it quite low, just went round like this. Didn't do any loops or anything. I was like, oh, she was lying. She was trying to scare me. That's wonderful. Then we came down. Then it hit me. It's TV. You don't do nothing once. You got to do it again. So before we got on the next time, the pilot looked at me and he was like, are you ready? I said, for what? He said, we're going to do the ultimate extreme stuff.
Oh, my God.
I said, I didn't know I was ultimate extreme level. I thought this was all very beginner. Do you know what I mean? He was like, nah. So what does ultimate extreme mean? He said, we're going to do loops and we're going to do twists. Nah. Luckily for me, I'm a little bit of a thrill seeker. The only thing I didn't like is that when you are wing walking, you are sitting on a bar stool attached to a stripper's pole. And then there's like this little bar. It's like the worst. You know when you go to a fun fair and you get in a roller coaster and you're like, wait, is this safe? That's what I was like on top of the plane. Is this safe? Oh my God, it was the best thing ever. Fuck Addison Lee. I want to wing walk to work every day.
Yeah,
I don't want to be in a cab ever again.
I would not like that. Well done for
you. It was one, I promise you, I think it looks scarier than what it is, but you definitely have to be a certain level of crazy to do it.
Yeah.
And I reached that level that day.
Well, good. They put you through, you know, I've never seen the show. So.
Yeah. Well, it's great. It's a good show.
Yeah.
I hope they do season 3, and I also hope they don't do season 3.
Yeah, what are they
going to
do?
Because how are we going to top wing walking? They keep talking about swimming with sharks. I'm like, did we not learn from the ski that I'm not a water person. I would rather jump out of the sky.
Is it only you that make it? Is everyone doing this, or is it just you that make and do?
No, because by the time we got to season 2, everyone was complaining because I used most of the budget for real.
Right.
But why would you tell them that? I had loads of comics coming to me being like, I was trying to be like you and give a grand idea, and they were like, no, Tanya, spent the budget.
If you can do it, do it. Right, I want to go through your spotlight. I found your spotlight page and your skills that you can do in spotlight.
Let's go.
There's a lot of dancing, which I'm assuming you can do.
I can do.
I want to know, because sometimes people lie on spotlight about what they can do.
Wow.
Usually on accents.
Wow, there is no solidarity here, boy. Outing me on the podcast.
I want to know what your skill level is on just the sport. I'm not going to go into your accents.
Go on. Don't go into the accents.
There's a lot of things you claim to be able to do. Athletics?
Yeah, I did athletics.
Yeah?
Yep.
What kind of athletics can you do?
100 metres. Yeah. I was very fast.
What's your fastest 100 metres?
Last I remember was 12. I was asked to test out for Crystal Palace youth team. Yeah.
That's pretty good. I can do it in about 25 seconds.
Yeah, no, I'm probably at about 42 now.
Okay. Basketball?
Yes.
Okay. Bowling? I mean, yes. Is that what, 10-pin bowling or crown green bowling?
It's 10-pin, but my agent said it means something.
Everyone can 10-pin bowl.
Excuse me, not like me, thank you very much.
Cycling?
Yep.
Darts?
Yes.
Darts isn't a skill. You can't put darts down as a skill.
If it's on the application,
is it there?
Then you put it in.
Okay. Football?
Yes.
Pole fitness?
Yes.
Okay. Quad biking?
Yes.
Okay. Yoga? Yeah.
I mean, I'm over 30.
When have you been quad biking?
When I was growing up, my mum used to work for a youth. Okay. She was a youth worker, and she used to run a lot of all of our community centres and all that kind of stuff. And up until about 5 years ago, she was doing that. And we used to go, and I've done nearly every activity you could think of.
It's good. All right, you passed. You passed. Well done for not lying. I believe you in all of those.
Honestly, I did. I've done nearly everything. My mum was very much, when we were growing up, my mum was like, you try everything once, then you tell me if you like it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've tried at least everything once.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sort of almost being forced to try things. I've been cycling with my daughter. My daughter's who's 8, and she's got really into cycling, and I'm the one who has to go with her, and I'm much more scared than she is.
What are you scared of the bike?
I'm scared of her falling off the bike.
Fair.
But she is really good.
Good.
But we were in Somerset last week, and there's a thing called the Strawberry Line, which I didn't know my dad helped create when he was headmaster, and after he was headmaster. So it's Cheddar to, I think it goes to like Bristol, but it's Yat. We went from Yatton to Cheddar, and then we got a little bit lost, and it was like a 10-mile ride. So my daughter's riding 10 miles. She's only just started.
At eight.
She's only just started riding a bike. Oh, it was all on an old railway line, so it felt fairly safe. And then we got lost, and we came down the Axbridge bypass, which is like a massive bypass with huge lorries.
Yeah.
She called it a motorway. It wasn't.
Bless
a motorway.
Her.
But there was a crosswind, and there was sand being blown in our faces.
Oh, poor baby.
But she was very brave, whereas I was quite scared. I made her get off
Good
in the end.
Girl.
We walked. But yeah, so. My daughter is going to force me to be adventurous, but I was never very adventurous.
Oh, I'm a thrill seeker for most things. Yeah. Yeah. If, nah. I think because for me, the skydiving and ramped it right up. If there's a possibility that you could die, sign me up. It sounds mad, but that is the bit.
That's yeah, but bit. I mean, that spirit, you know, it feels like you've... That's the spirit you live your life in as well. Like going, people are saying I'm funny, I'll have a go at stand-up comedy.
Why not?
And then proving you can do stand-up comedy.
Do it for the story, Rich. Yeah. Do it for the story.
And then it's all, you know, it's all happening. It's all happening. And so are you doing stand-up? Are you still doing stand-up or is the TV stuff...
I still do stand-up quite heavily, actually. Still like 5-6 times a week.
Oh, great. Good. Yeah, because you're very funny.
Thank you.
You're very good.
I'm glad that I found that comedy class.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's sort of interesting and it's interesting. If you give... Stuff like that. I go, if you're interested in it, yeah. I mean, being a stand-up is a sort of special thing. You have to want to do it, really.
Definitely, because you've got to... The first few years, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, you've been going since, what, 2012?
12,
yeah. So you've been, you know, it's again, that's the thing now that, like, people... You've all been going for like 10 or 11 years before you sort of really, you know, come through. So, yeah. But it's good. I think, like, you talking about doing competitions 8 years in... It's a very good idea because some people do competitions 6 months in and they're not going to be...
It's a weird one because I do say it's probably the best thing I did. I didn't want to do it until I was ready, but I also had to get over the fear. So the first 2-3 years, I was like, no, I'm not ready for competitions because if I win the competition with my 5 minutes, then they put me in glee clubs and they say, do 20 minutes. I've got five. I'll just do it 4 times.
Yeah.
They don't want that. Do you know what I mean? That's not what you pay for when you go and watch comedy. So I was very much, you know, like, that doesn't make sense. But also, because I was older when I started comedy, I feel like I didn't run into some things that, you know, the younger ones run into.
Sure.
Not really being mindful. So, yeah, I was like, it doesn't make sense to do a comedy competition 2-3 years in.
Yeah.
If I win, I'm not going to be able to sustain anything. And then my first impression is dead.
Sure.
When I come back later on and I'm ready and I'm raring to go, they're going to be like, no, we saw you already, go away.
Yeah, it's true. And it's a very good lesson. And again, I think, having started a little bit later on, that's probably why you had a wiser head on your shoulders than... Not the person in Porthcawl, let's face it.
I mean, we will not speak of
that. We won't go back into it. That can't have happened. Let me ask you some... Look, we're having a good time. I'm not asking you any emergency questions. I'm going to ask you some early emergency questions. I want to know, Tanya, have you ever seen a ghost?
No. Ah. I've seen one in the form of an ex-boyfriend, but not like an actual Casper one.
What, an ex-boyfriend ghosting you or...
As in, oh my God, what are you doing here? You look horrible. You know? Oh my God, did I? Like, you know, like that. You know? She knows.
Let's go. We're going to go early. What is your favourite cheese? It's question 7 in this book. God in heaven.
Oh my God.
You got a favourite cheese?
I think it's called Wellesleydale.
Wensleydale.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Wensleydale.
With cranberry bits inside of it?
Yeah, you can get one with cranberry.
Fuck
you like that?
Oh my God, it's got me by the nipples, that has.
Really?
That on some crackers, yes, please.
Not a bit claggy? I find Wensleydale a bit claggy.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
How thick do you cut it?
I don't tend to eat it. I don't really like Wensleydale. I mean, I'd eat it, but I don't like it.
Ah, what's yours?
It's true of most cheese. I like halloumi, but Bob Mortimer told me that wasn't a cheese.
Isn't it?
It is, but he doesn't count it as a cheese because he feels it's... Well, because it's sort of, you know, rubbery and... I like it because it makes a sound, but he says that's not enough.
You like it because it makes a sound?
You eat it, it squeaks, doesn't it?
What?
And it tastes nice.
Does halloumi have a whop? What are you saying?
You eat it and it squeaks.
What is the next question, Richard?
and cheddar. I like cheddar. I like cheddar. I should say
cheddar's
that.
Cheddar's good.
I've just said, well, I'm from Cheddar. I've got to say it.
Oh, well.
There's only one place that makes cheddar cheese in Cheddar Gorge. I was just there the other day. I have to tell you, I'm not happy with Cheddar Caves. They've changed Cox's Cave into like a caveman adventure, which is not historically accurate. And also, they're not showing the beautiful. It's a beautiful cave. They've covered it. It's very impressive technology, but I'm furious. Not like in the old days when I was. I went to Cheddar Caves and I bought it's 80 fucking quid to buy 4 tickets for all of my family, and then my son went into Cox's Cave and went, I don't like it. And we had to leave straight away.
No.
My wife took him out, so me and my daughter went round. And when I bought the tickets, I said, oh, I used to work because I used to work in Cheddar Caves.
Oh, nice.
I thought she might go, oh well, oh you don't have to pay, sir. She went, oh, that's interesting. And so, was it like, was that in the,
even a discount?
Did you do tours? No discount. And then another guy came in. He said, are you Richard Herring? I went, yeah. He went, bloody hell, this is amazing. This is like local royalty. Do I get a discount? No. No.
I thought you were going to say she at least offered a T-shirt.
Nothing. Got nothing to get. We paid for our little bit. They bought some little bits of rot. Anyway, look. What they've done to Cox's Cave. Then my son wouldn't go into Gough's Cave, so that was a waste of money. Then we went into the museum, and he was scared of the skeleton.
How old's your son?
28 years old. That's the terror thing. That's the terror. He's, how many could be? He's five. He's five.
Okay.
Right, thank you. Thanks for the setup. what's the best thing you've ever done in the rain?
Oh. Someone just said sex.
Sex? Have you had sex in the rain? Let's get that person up. I'd go inside if it was...
What's the best thing I've done in the
rain? Would you have sex in the rain? If it was raining, I'd go inside, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not that...
I mean, it depends what surface you're on as well.
Do you know what? I just had a really mad moment.
What?
Normally, I would say yes.
Yeah.
Purely based on my hair.
Okay.
But I don't have any anymore. So I might fuck in the rain tomorrow.
Okay, good.
If you see me in the rain tomorrow naked, mind your business. This is where the idea came from.
My rain story is again from school, and this is me not getting involved with stuff. It started pissing down rain, and all my friends went out into the rain and danced in the rain with girls.
Wow.
I was about 17, and I was sensible and didn't want to get wet and stayed in a doorway watching them, and that was the biggest regret of my youth.
No, who do that, I'm like, why are you... It's literally the embodiment of being like, hi, pneumonia, I'm going to be outside in about 3 minutes. Do you want to come? Like, what are you doing? Why are you inviting pneumonia into your life? Yeah. Dancing in the rain.
Yeah.
In the pouring rain.
Yeah, but it was, you know...
No hat.
No, there was no hat. They got wet. They had to presumably spend the rest of the school day in their wet clothes.
What?
I was very sensible. I was a sensible, good young boy.
Is that another way of saying I didn't have friends?
I didn't have many friends. My dad was the headmaster. It was a terrible, terrible time. But he made part of the strawberry line, so, you know. Right, this is an AI question. Let me ask you a different AI question, then I'll get on to the good one. This is artificial intelligence has come up with this question. What would be a good emergency use for a giant Toblerone? That's an AI has come up with that.
What would be a good emergency use for a giant Toblerone?
You know, the ones you get in airports, I think the AI is thinking of. It's hard to know, isn't it? I can't think of an answer to
probably,
it.
Probably could have used a massive Toblerone when they, mid-COVID, when they wasted all that money taking over buildings that we didn't use.
Yeah.
Toblerone would have been fine. It would have been cheaper.
What, to eat
still
or to live
used
in?
It.
Okay.
It's useless.
Okay, fair enough. I think you could use it to shore up. I've been trying to... we've had some mice in our kitchen ceiling and I've been trying to find where they've been getting in. And I've been putting chicken wire in
Toblerone's
holes.
Toblerone's not going to help.
You could stick a tote, I suppose it would attract mice.
You're going to tell them to invite their cousins over. Stop being weird.
There's Toblerone.
You can use them as temporary tents.
Yeah, they could live in there. Well, they could put them outside and the mice might come out. Okay. It's lovely living in the countryside.
Get the Toblerone and bring it in.
This is the good... Oh, let me see this. No, oh, great. I'm going to ask you another bad one first. Just to show how good my questions are compared to artificial intelligence. If you could have any superpower, would you use it to become president of the world or to make sure there's always a plentiful supply of avocados?
Avocados.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be president of the world.
Right.
No, these people, before they become presidents, they look healthy and vibrant. You become a president, you just end up looking dead. They look so stressed and tired. I wouldn't want all of that on my shoulders.
President of the world
of the world. I only speak this language. I'd be useless.
You'd have to get everyone working together. It'd be quite hard, wouldn't it?
You can't even do that in Catford. How am I going to do that around the world?
But if you had a plentiful supply of avocados, I think they might make you president of the world.
If you just
everywhere we end, there's an avocado, there's an avocado. Right, here's the good question that AI came up with. What is the most ludicrous thing you've ever done in the name of love?
Oh. How much time have we got?
As much as you need.
Ludicrous. I mean, what's your level of ludicrous?
Well, what's your level of ludicrous?
I don't know. Why do I keep hitting myself with the microphone? It's driving me mad. You would think I don't use a microphone in my job every day. It's so weird. I don't know how embarrassing the story is going to go.
Yeah, let's see.
What's the most ludicrous thing you've done in the name of love?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's ludicrous. Is ludicrous the same thing as spiteful?
Yeah, let's say it is. Let's say it is. Very much so.
My first boyfriend dumped me.
Right. Fool.
After 4.5 years.
Oh, no.
And I really appreciate that gasp. Thank you.
That's nice.
And he dumped me for a girl who lived on the block next to mine. Mm. After I just spent 2 years helping him raise money to get a moped.
Right.
So I scratched it.
Oh.
Nice.
I mean, I don't think it's...
Who said nice?
I don't think it's enough.
It's not a nice thing to do.
So I cut the brakes.
However, in that moment with my 19-year-old body, it was the right thing to
do. Oh, definitely.
And I scratched the shit out of it.
That's your...
I didn't do this. Yeah. I went like that. Coloured it in on both sides. Do you know what I mean? As I was finishing the second side, his mum was coming downstairs, so she saw me scratching it. I tried to run. He ran after me, brought me back to his mum's house so she could tell me off. The problem with that is couldn't give a fuck about what she was saying. I just sat there and waited for her to finish. Then I left and felt like I won a prize. And then I apologised 2 years later.
That's good. Well, that's hard
we're
as well.
Friends. We're still quite
close.
So
you went with him from when you were like 14 to 19?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that hurts.
First boyfriend.
Yeah.
First. Took him 3 years to hold my hand, but he was patient. Really good guy.
Oh, he was a good guy.
He still is. We're still friends.
Oh,
still
good.
Friends, yeah. We laugh at that now. That's why I can tell that story. Because I'll tell him to listen to it and we'll laugh about it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Shouldn't have dumped me, you bastard.
Good. Well, look, we haven't got very much left long to go. What are you looking forward to doing next? Is the TV show the main thing?
Yeah, that's one of the main things. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. We've got a pilot for it, so we're currently writing it at the moment.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a lot of interest in the story because it's different. And there seems to be interest in how we're going to make it funny. And it's really funny already, guys. We're laughing a lot our meetings. So, yeah, hopefully it will still be called Bully by the time we get to TVX. And I look forward to hearing how funny this story is about this tragic young lady.
I do think it's just, it was such a fascinating show. And it was, and often with Edinburgh, it's not, especially with something like that. I can't remember the other person. I know there was another person.
Sean Davies.
Yeah, but I don't remember anything about that show. Because I was so wrapped in...
Yeah.
And it was like 4 or 5 years ago. And I thought, I must get that person on the podcast.
Oh,
it's only taken four years.
4 or 5 years. It's fine.
It's fine.
Listen, late is better than never.
It is. Look, I'm very much looking forward to seeing that when that comes out. And I hope you're going to tour again. I hope people come and see you do your live stuff. You've got a brilliant website with all your dates and stuff on it.
Yes,
as well,
so, I do. I try to keep that up to date because I can't deal with the constant inboxes. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? Just, yeah. Please just check the site, please.
I quite like it because you've just got a calendar up there and it says where you're going to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's
it's easy, isn't it?
It's a really good way of doing it.
Sometimes when I go on a website and there's a list, I'm like, oh my God, another list. I prefer it. It's just right there. It's obvious. You can see it.
So that's Tanya Moore.
Yeah.
Spelled T-H-A-N-Y-I-A.
I know. There's a lot going on.
.com.co.uk.
.co.uk. Yeah.
Do check that out for all information on that, and hopefully the show will be out soon and we can see it. Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round of applause. The incredible Tanya Moore. Love to see you. Thank you very much. You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Tanya Moore. Thank you to Scant Regard. That's them playing this song right now. I think it's just one bloke, actually, but it sounds like more, doesn't it? He's good. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you very much to Chris Evans, not that one, and all of the Go Faster Strike team. And thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. And hey, thanks to everyone at Acast and Acast Plus. You know, those guys work hard too. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.